Amen. Did I hear a amen back there? Bless her heart. Was that Jennifer? All right. Unless you have been on another planet this past week, I'm sure you've heard about the shooting last Saturday sometime in Tucson, Arizona. It seems that it has just been nonstop on the news 24/7 for the past week, and it's been heavy on my heart as a pastor to think about what to say in the wake of these kinds of events that we have happen far, far too often in our country. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Columbine High School and the Nickel Mine School up in near Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and others, just numerous other shootings that have gone on in our country recently. And as I thought about what to say, I focused on what would God say to us today. Does God have anything to say in the wake of these tragedies, these awful, awful tragedies that happen far, far too frequently? And today I want to focus my attention on the image of a virus, America's virus of violence, and ask the question, is there a cure? Is there a cure for America's virus of violence? A couple of days ago, a few days ago, Scott Kelly, you don't know Scott Kelly probably, but some of you might. He is the brother-in-law of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in the head, as you know. Scott is an astronaut, just like his brother. Scott happened to be up in the International Space Station at the time of the shooting, and he wrote these words, or said these words from the space station after he found out about his sister-in-law's injury. He said, "As I look out the window, I see a very beautiful planet that seems inviting and peaceful. Unfortunately, it is not. These days, we are constantly reminded of unspeakable acts of violence and damage we can inflict upon one another, not just with our actions, but with our irresponsible words. We're better than this," he says. "We must do better." Today we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday. Actually tomorrow, but this is in the church, Martin Luther King Sunday, where we remember Dr. King and his contributions to the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King was born 82 years ago. He'd be 82 today if he had lived. 42 years ago, he was assassinated, standing on the balcony of a motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Some of us probably remember that day in 1968. A week ago, Scott Kelly's sister-in-law, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, was shot in the head, a bullet through the brain. 40 years separate these two incidents. 40 years. And in that 40 years, thousands of people have died as a result of violent gun battles, gun shootings in this country. We hear every now and then about children being shot on the streets of our cities and towns from gang violence, bullets flying everywhere. And we hear about children and innocent people getting shot. Thousands of people have died in places like Columbine and other school shootings. I went on the website the other day to look at violent crime in America, and there were numerous schools and institutions, colleges, where 1, 2, 3, Columbine, 13 people died as a result of that shooting. We'll also remember that John F. Kennedy died at an assassin's bullet as well, five years prior to Dr. King. And then his brother Robert was assassinated in Los Angeles just a few months after Dr. King's assassination. There are a lot of good things about America. There's a lot of good that we could talk about America. many things are right with America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, and the fact that America has been so blessed to be a blessing to other nations. But I don't want to talk about America's goodness today. I want to talk about her illness. I want to talk about the sickness in America today in the wake of this event. America, you see, is infected with the virus of violence. Hang in there with me for a little while, folks, because this is going to be a hard message to bring. And I want each of us to be fully engaged and to listen to what I'm saying, but more importantly, listen to what God is saying to us through Scripture and through people like Dr. King. America today reflects somewhat what Habakkuk. And on the back of your bulletin is the scripture verse for the day, if you want to take a look at it. But I'm just going to read the verse that struck me that speaks to America these days. It says, the prophet Habakkuk writes, "So the law is paralyzed and justice never comes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice comes forth perverted." Justice comes forth perverted. America is sick, folks, with a virus of violence. You talk about sickness. Our kids get sick. We get sick, don't we? We all get sick at one time or another. Our children get sick, and we don't know why or what caused it a lot of times, and it's always kind of a surprise when they come home with those sniffles and or the stomach viruses or whatever they're sick from. We know that our kids are going to get sick. We know that we're going to get sick. We just don't know exactly when. And when they get sick, we certainly want to be there for them. We care for them. We nurture them. We provide for them, and we love them and sit with them. And we share their pain with them. And we know that they'll get sick again, perhaps next season or maybe even next month. The tragedy in Tucson, Arizona reminds us that America is sick too. Now, we may not feel that America is sick, or we may not feel sick ourselves, but this sickness is happening somewhere in America almost every day. Like a sexually transmitted disease, violence in America, which is the sickness, lies dormant for a while. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it seems like it flares up. We hear about shootings. We hear about murders. We hear about violence in some way, in some place throughout this country. Maybe not in beautiful downtown Lewis or Milton or Rehoboth, but we hear about these things every day on the news. Why are we shocked? Why are we shocked? We should not be shocked anymore when we hear about Tucson or Columbine or other shootings, because they're almost a daily occurrence anymore. And it's a sign, a symptom of our illness. Yes, we must sympathize with those who have lost. Yes, we must empathize and grieve with those who have lost. And yes, we must join in the debate to help that these sort of things do not happen again, and we're going to try to fix it. The virus of violence in America, unfortunately, though, is not dormant. Somewhere in America, a child is shot by a stray bullet. Somewhere in America, almost on a daily basis, people are killed sitting at their work desks in their workplaces. Remember, it wasn't too long ago, a disgruntled postal employee walked into the post office where he worked and shot a bunch of folks, including the postmaster or mistress, I'm not sure which. Somewhere in America, and just this week, in Salisbury, Maryland, a young man strangled his 87-year-old grandmother. And then I'm told that he was seen in church a little bit after that. I'm not sure about that. Last Christmas, we awoke on Christmas morning to the news of little Sarah Foxwell, who was brutally murdered and left in a woods somewhere near Salisbury. And then, of course, closer to home, Officer Chad Spicer, who was shot chasing, running down a criminal and lost his life in the line of duty. You're still not convinced that America is infected with the virus of violence? Take a walk through our schools these days. Dave, I don't know, I haven't been in Cape Henlopen High School recently, but I've got a feeling there's a pretty good security system in place over there. Security cameras? I don't think we've come to metal detectors yet, have we? I don't think we have metal detectors there yet, but in many of our schools, kids have to walk through a metal detector to get into their classrooms. Some school districts are even talking about handing out arms to the teachers as a means of self-defense. It's that bad. I'm also told that some schools in the inner city that have extremely high crime rates, they're even passing out book covers made out of, guess what? Kevlar. So that if the shooting starts, the kids have something at least that's bulletproof or bullet resistant in the event of a shooting. Did you know we even have a passkey system here at Bethel Church for our preschool? Thanks to the preschool and the trustees and parents of our preschoolers to keep as much away from our children as possible. Can we truly say that things will change if we simply throw more money into mental health? You'll recall that the shooter in Arizona is believed to be mentally unstable. We don't know that for sure. It's in the midst of the trial and so forth, or not trial, but the investigation. It's possible that he has mental problems. Will things change if we simply treat the mentally ill better, or pass tougher and stricter gun laws? Will things change if we just simply get our kids in church, get them connected in a youth group, get them learning the morals and values of Christian teachings and the ways of Jesus? Will things change if we just keep preaching harder and louder the kingdom of God? And scripture verses like Isaiah that says that the lion will lie down with the lamb one day. I don't know. It certainly can't hurt, but it's not enough. Martin Luther King said that we must accept finite disappointment, but we must never lose infinite hope. Words from Dr. King. We must accept finite disappointment, that bad things are going to happen, but we must not give up or lose infinite hope. So, if America is infected,